Good morning. Please stand as you are able for the morning prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of every good gift, look graciously on our church and so guide the minds of those who shall choose a rector for this parish, that we may receive a faithful pastor who will care for your people and equip us for your ministries through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, you have journeyed with your people Israel, and we pray you, journey with us now in this time of episcopal transition and change. Walk beside us on the road that is ahead. Calm our fears, awaken our hope, and open our hearts as together we seek your guidance. Inspire us and those appointed to search for candidates to discern your will for the Diocese of Michigan. May we put our whole trust in you as we look to Christ, the great shepherd of our souls, who together with the Holy Spirit is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know, the weaknesses of each of us. Let each one find you mighty to save through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now say Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say to the Lord, "You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil happen to you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion and serpent under your feet. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." The second reading is from the book of Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so it is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hand they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When my kids were little, and they had done something, I said, who did this? And of course the response was, not me, not me. And I said, you know, not me needs to move out of this house. Not me does not live here. And that's a typical child response. When they choose to do things they're not supposed to do. Either that or they blame it on somebody else. In one of the teachings I had from the Native tradition, it stated that children, we do not leave our adolescence until the age of 28. So we do not become an adult until the age of 28. Our brain isn't ready. And this is ancient teachings. However, our science has caught up with that, and they now have found that our brain is not developed until after about the age of 28. So that's why in the teens and early 20s, some have poor impulse control. If they want it, they do it, because their brain isn't quite ready to do the whole thought process one needs of thinking ahead of, like, do I really want to live with the consequences? And so part of what we know is Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30. Think about that. That's when the brain was developed, and he then came into a fully developed adult brain. And so one of the things, as he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. God claimed him as his son, listened to him. And then he went off for 40 days of complete sacrifice, where he stayed in the wilderness without eating. And the devil tempted him the whole time. So Jesus was vulnerable. He was as vulnerable as we are in terms of being tempted to all those things in life. And after he was through in 40 days of prayer, he was famished. If I had to spend 40 days hungry, I'd be famished too. And that's when he was at the weakest point. He was tired, he was hungry, and the devil was right there. Satan was right there. Turn this bread. Turn this stone into bread. Jesus said no. He could have done it. think about how he has multiplied loaves and fishes later. He could have made that bread. He could have satisfied himself immediately. But Jesus knew. He was there for ministry for others, not for himself. When he converted the bread into multiple loaves, when he changed the water into wine, it was always for others, not for self. Jesus came on this earth for others, not for self. And the same thing when the devil tested him and said, you know, if you just give me pledge allegiance to me, you can have this whole world basically under your feet. You can be the king of all. You can have all the glory and the power. Jesus said no. His wasn't a ministry of power. He wasn't here to be crowned the king of the world. He was here to be a servant to all of us. It was not to be the most powerful, the almighty. Those are words we gave after. It wasn't for when he walked on this earth. And again, he came here to be a suffering servant, not to be the great almighty leader. It wasn't about a political or religious power. It was a power that came from within him, from God. And then, you know, the devil never gives up on us. He took him to the highest pinnacle at the temple. And he said, throw yourself down. And if you're all powerful and you have this God, he'll save you. But Jesus didn't have to prove himself to anyone, not even the devil. He said, no. He had this inner knowing of who he was in himself. He had evolved to know that why he was here, what he was to be doing, and he didn't have to prove it to anyone. He just had to be himself. So the question is, so we're not Jesus. So what does this gospel say to us? So I ask you, what voices do you hear? Has there ever been a time where you had your own 40 days of wilderness, where you felt lost and alone and by yourself, or so drawn and so tired that you thought, I don't know if I can make this? Remember what Jesus had going into those 40 days. He had the Spirit of God. He was not alone. He had God's presence the whole time. And when we're in those 40 days in our own wilderness, we have God. We have the Holy Spirit. We are not, even though we may feel it, we're not alone. And so we also, part of our nature is to have temptations. But temptations can be subtle. They may not be the devil in our face saying, do this or do that. It may be those little things of somebody gives you a dollar extra in change. And it's up to you. You can walk away with the dollar or you can give it back and say, you overpaid me. That's a subtle temptation. Or you hear people gossiping and you know what they're saying isn't true, but you don't say anything. You just walk away. Or you leave them with the impression that they're right. That's a subtle temptation. Why make waves? It's not about us anyway. So those are the subtle ones. As we grow older, we don't have big temptations unless you're working with lots of money and you work in a bank or something. Those aren't the temptations that most of us have to do. It's the day-to-day temptations. How are we living our life? How are we living in the world? Are we living in a time of living in worldliness or godliness? Material wealth is one of our forms of worldliness if we're not using it for God. if we're not using what we have been given to help others along. It doesn't mean that we have to put on sackcloth and ashes, but we certainly need to look at what we're being asked to do and how we're asked to use our resources. How is God talking to us? Another way of worldliness is success and status. If we're out for ego, that look at me, how grand I am. That's not what God wants from us. If we have status and influence and power that way, we're to use it for the good of mankind, to be a voice for those who may have no voices. The other thing is about relationships. Are we in relationship with God? Are we in relationship with each other? Not in a way that is self-serving, but it's a way of serving others. A sociopath is one who always does things because they get something from it. Oh, they'll do the right things, but the outcome is because it points back at them, because it benefits them. And I've met some sociopaths in my life. I've dealt with kids that were, even at a young age, sociopaths. The whole world is about what they gain, not what they give. And so God asks us, what is it that we're to be doing? How are we supposed to be dealing with temptation? Are we living a life that reflects what God gave us, the grace and the ability to be challenged, but to rise above the challenges of everyday life? To be able, with mature minds, to be able to know that we're at choice, and that every decision that we make in our life impacts whether we know it or not. Every decision we make may impact the earth, whether we recycle, whether we throw something on the ground. However we live is going to impact everyone. And so God reminds us through Jesus on earth that every one of us will be tempted. It's within our nature to be tempted. If Jesus was tempted, then, you know, God knows we're going to be. And if we are tempted, are we strong enough in knowing who we are and why we're here to be able to say no, to make the best choices, not just for ourselves, but for everyone, for the benefit of mankind? Evelyn Boyce wrote in Spiritual Moments, talking about Paul, one of Paul's gospel, Paul reminds us, if we truly accept that God is within us, our lives, our actions will be a witness to that belief. How we live really does say what we believe in and how we believe. And we have to look within ourselves to see the way the divine has worked within us. And once we see this, through that comes joy. When we make those decisions that benefit everyone, when we give to others, when we're living for others, when we're doing for others, that's the place that great joy comes from. I can only imagine that in Jesus' suffering on the cross, within that pain and within the agony was joy. Because what he was doing wasn't for himself, but for every one of us. And so we're reminded in this Lenten season that God wants us to live not for ourselves, not from a place of ego, but for others. To love God and love our neighbors and to love our enemies. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in
one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven.
unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on page 4. O righteous God, we sin against you, against one another, and against ourselves. We confess our sin with sorrow, but not despair. We claim your abounding grace. We ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, for Wendell, our bishop, Donald, the ELCA bishop, and Stuart, our retired bishop, for all ministers, lay and ordained, and for our clergy, Mary Jane. We pray for this gathering, for all people, and for the church, especially Holy Trinity in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Good Shepherd in San Pedro, Dominican Republic, and Christ Church in Pleasant Lake. We pray to you, O Lord. For the church, that all who have found God's promise in the waters of baptism will open their eyes to the bright glory of the cross, we pray. Have mercy, O Lord. For all nations, that the worth of every life may compel those in authority to solidarity and peace. For those in positions of public trust, especially Donald Trump, the President of the United States, and for the members of Congress, also for those who serve in our state and local governments, we pray. Have mercy, O Lord. For our divided and restless world, that those who hold power over others may be troubled and transformed by the demands of justice, we pray. Have mercy, O Lord. For us, that God's commandments may be ever close to us, wonderful to ponder and life-giving to keep, we pray. Have mercy, O Lord. For all who struggle with addictions, that they may find strength and love for the simple gifts of God, we pray. Have mercy, O Lord. For those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially for those we now name either silently or aloud, especially all of those from our parish, Sally Graham and Peter Groschner, inspire us to care for your gifts of healthy bodies and minds, we pray. Have mercy, O Lord. Let us pray for those celebrating birthdays or anniversaries, that their days may be filled with your love and blessings. We pray for those we now name either silently or aloud. We pray. Have mercy, O Lord. For those whom we remember who have gone before us, especially for those we now name either silently or aloud, Sandy Eklund, we pray to you, O Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. Merciful God, remember us and all those for whom we pray. For these 40 days, teach our hearts to be open to you. When the events of life seem too much to endure, continue to hold us up and let us feel your arms surrounding us and guiding us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Just a reminder for Lent, we will be serving communion from right here. I'll serve the Eucharist, the host, and there'll be two chalices, one on each side. So you'll just come up here. Walk in love as God loves you.
Thank you. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will. A perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask of through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Grant, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the announcement.
Good morning. My name is Barb Pappas. Let me move that a little. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, here she comes again. And others are thinking, ooh, what's she going to tell us about movie night? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you about movie night. It's coming up on Friday the 22nd, 1 week after the amazing Corned Beast Feast. And we will be in the lounge at 6:30. We'll start the movie at 7. As you know, we have snacks and drinks. It's free for everyone. We love and encourage you to bring friends and family members. And I think we've got a good selection this month. I would ask if somebody told you when you were young, we've decided from your genetic profile that you have very little potential. Would you sit back and say, okay, and let life pass you by? Or would you say, I don't think so, and go out there and strive for your dreams? That's what this is about, and I hope you'll join us to see how that movie plays out. If you have any questions, find me in coffee hour.
Good morning. I wrote my name tag last week, but I think my name is Karen McCarthy, and today I'm here to be your vestry rep. I'll be in the hall for any questions that you might have. And if you don't have any particular questions about vestry or what's going on, I'll also be there with my computer and the website. I would love to ask you guys for some feedback, so please stop and see me in the hall. Third thing, we still have a parishioner who is missing her car keys. If you were not here last week and check your coat pockets, please check them today. Dolores needs to find her keys. Thank you.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Outreach Committee will be meeting. It did not get in the newsletter for this week, but we will be there. And you will be hearing from us shortly about our Easter Basket project for Crossroads.
Good morning. I wanted to thank everyone who came to our pancake supper last past Tuesday. We had 85 happy people there. It was a fun evening of food, fun, and fellowship. And even though it's not a fundraiser, we did make money. We made $210, which we have donated to the hospitality fund. So we're pleased about that. And if you had fun there, or even if you didn't make it there, please come this Friday for our Corned Beast Feast. It's from 5 to 7. Tickets are $10. And Kate Colborn will be selling them after the service, or they're available at the door. Also, if you are able to help with cleanup, setup, or help of any kind, there's a sign-up sheet for helpers as well.
You've probably seen in the newsletter information about my recital at the East China PAC. That is not in Asia, but here in Michigan. And several folks from the congregation are going. If you would like to go, but maybe don't want to drive or drive the distance at night, several choir members are going, and people will be carpooling. And in Marine City, which is south of the Performing Arts Center, there are many great restaurants on the St. Clair River, so they'll be dining there before heading over to the Performing Arts Hall. So tickets can be purchased at the door. There will be more information in the coming weeks in the newsletter, and I will have cards to hand out next week as well. I hope you can join us. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Obviously, I'm Pat. Bill didn't quite realize how surely it was going to be before you're going to hear about the Easter baskets. Liz, I'm letting you information know because of Liz Matson. Anyways, we are going to do Easter baskets for Crossroads. We're going to pick up an empty Easter basket, which is going to include grass, cellophane bag, ribbon, and directions. And you fill your basket and bring it back to church, and they'll be delivered to Crossroads to brighten a child's Easter. We also have Easter gift bags available for the older kids, so they're not left out. And you're going to take a bag home, put in a bag of Easter candy and a gift card for the older kids. And we'd like to include our older kids in the Easter giving so they're not left out with all the young kids getting baskets and they have nothing. Baskets and bags will be available in Yeoman Hall starting Sunday, March the 24th or sooner. Baskets and bags will need to be picked up and brought back by Monday, April the 15th for delivery to Crossroads during the Easter week. If you have any questions, please contact Liz Smith-Madsen. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lee Pulaski, and I'm a member of the Rector Search Committee. I'm here to let you know that the committee has been working diligently to prepare for the interview process of prospective candidates, and we have been working on interview questions. We've been working at it for about a month now, and we expect to be seeing candidate resumes in the near future from the diocese. And we ask you that you keep us in your prayers for this very important, critical decision for our church.
I have one announcement. I need your help. On Tuesday, we had a surprise visit from the health department right before the pancake dinner. Now, you know, we have been diligently, I have cleaned out this refrigerator numerous times, especially after the power went out in it and we had cleaned. So thank God in some ways that happened because the freezer was completely almost clean. However, when he arrived, he asked me how many dinners did we do, and I said, well, we do maybe four a year that we actually prepare food. It would be pancake dinner that night, but he could see we had the stuff, and he said that wasn't a problem. But he did look, and we found one container that wasn't labeled, and we found another that was hummus from Sunday. I said, oh, I know what those are from. That was from Sunday. They should have been thrown out, so I threw them out immediately. And then the hummus I put a label on. Luckily, it hadn't expired. It was March 23rd, so we were good. However, after going through that, and we did pass the inspection because he said we cleaned up the problem, he could see that we had a note on the refrigerator. Everything had to have a date, a name, and what to be used for or how to use it. And also, he saw the little slips that we had for people to be able to fill out. So he knew we were trying. However, the day after I go to the refrigerator after the pancake dinner and there was stuff in it not labeled. I know what it was from. I mean, I know it was left over and I know we're tired after those events. But every one of us, if you put something in the refrigerator, it's got to have your name on it, a date. You can say, eat me. You can say, save for Sunday, what it's for. But we need to have everything labeled. We don't want to lose our license for the kitchen. So please, and if you look in there and it looks like we have no idea what this is, pitch it. If it's out of date, pitch it. All of us can do it. It doesn't have to be me manning that refrigerator. Frankly, I've also instructed Sarah that if she sees something in there that doesn't have a label or a date, pitch it. So we have to be mindful. It's really important that we keep our license. So if every one of us will help each other remember to put labels on it, it would be very helpful. The other thing is, on Sundays, we have coffee hour. People aren't signing up. And we've been lucky that people kind of remember to bring something. But if you would sign up, it would be helpful, whether as a group or a couple people get together. Coffee hour is very important for hospitality. For some of us who live alone, that's our one time a week we can get together with people and talk and just be part of a fellowship. For others, for new people arriving, it's a nice way of just getting to know people and feeling welcome. So if you would help out by signing up, you don't have to do it all. Somebody asked me how hard. Just, you know, just sign up to bring something in. It can be as simple as cookies. It doesn't have to be major. It can be, you know, just cheese and crackers. But if you would just help sign up, it would be helpful if we all shared in that. If you are not one that shops or can bring stuff in, if you want to donate money toward the cream and the coffee, that's great too. We can always take donations. You heard that they put some money aside. Really, last year, there was nothing in our budget to help cover these kind of costs. So coffee hour to me is part of, Jesus fed everybody. It was part of what he did. I feel it's part of what we should do as a church. So if you would help out, and if you bring coffee hour, if you're there and, you know, just help put stuff back in the fridge or label it. Monday Munchies love leftovers, so there's no problem. You don't have to take them home. You can just leave them with a note on your name, date, and Monday Munchies if you want. So if all of us will work together, I think it will make it easier for all of us. I just tell you, you know, I don't want to be the refrigerator police. So that would be helpful. Are there any birthdays this week? Any anniversaries? Not, we'll hold those who may be celebrating in one way or the other in our prayers. Invites us to a way of celebration, meeting and feasting with the humble and poor.
Let us walk his way.
Jesus beckons us to a way of risk, letting go of our security.
Let us walk his way with joy.
Jesus challenges us to listen to the voices of those who have nothing to lose.
Let us walk his way with joy.
Jesus calls us to follow the way of the cross, where despair is transformed by the promise of new life.
Let us walk his way with joy. Thanks be to God.
Up there right now. So,
about the other things? Squeaky pedals?
He fixed everything, so it's in tip-top shape again.
Oh, excellent. And the pipes that didn't... What did you say? The pipes that didn't speak?
Yes.
That's pretty good. I learned a new word.
I guess I didn't realize there's a whole chamber of pipes that are disconnected up there.
Right.
We talked about things we could do potentially.
Yeah. He's supposed to put together a proposal.
Yeah.
Because we still get money from the foundations. Now, that's not, I'm sure he explained to you, that's the skin
right.
by itself. Right. That's ancillary to
yes.
it.
Yes.
So we can't use Skinner funds from one of the foundations, for example, to fix that.
Right.
We can't overhear this. Yeah. So, but he was going to put together a proposal.
I also asked him to give me a quote about adding a 32-foot and another 16 to the pedal. Because it's weak when everything is on.
No.
The pedal kind of gets drowned out by the upper peak registers. So that would not, to me, be a huge investment. But I asked him to price that out for us. So nothing Friday is concerning.
I'm glad he was able to pop up and you could take the time. Because
yeah.
he said he was going somewhere next week and he wanted to come up and address it.
Sure. And they did a great job. So.
Okay, I'll be right.
But I will press upon him to get us all of these things so that we can sit down and
Well, when you first came, we had said that at some point in time they would be happy to, but then when they were pruning, it was during the day, you couldn't take the time. But that was good, you had some time. He met with Mark Mueller on Friday.
I updated Margaret earlier.
Oh, did you? Good. Margaret's up to speed?
The only time it was supposed to sound weird was after the gospel reading, when they possessed back up here. That I purposefully wanted it to sound.
Well, maybe that was it.
But it shouldn't have. All right.
That's just me. I don't know.
No, I'll pay attention to it. And I also didn't use the same registrations I've been using because I try to not be as loud during Lent. So.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's something like that, but and it wasn't just me because Laura
turned
off that
doesn't
sound good.
Okay, I'll
check
that out.
So I'm going to check it.
Okay.
And if there's no problem, okay, that's how it
is. I'll run each stop and see if there's anything that sticks out.
You could tell it was coming from over there and it was so low.
That's probably the choir that's let off. So I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's interesting, depending where you're at, it always sounds different.
Yeah.
And you guys get it full force.
Yes. Candles?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Politely tell them I can't talk right now, and if they try and talk again,